Hello, Katie.
Hello, Teresa Marie.
How you doing today?
Oh, you know, it's a Tuesday. But, you know, it wasn't a bad Tuesday.
No, it wasn't a bad Tuesday. It's probably going to be bad the rest of the week weather-wise, but you know what? It's fine.
You know,
whatever.
Also, speaking of being bad the rest of the week, tomorrow. Let me just quickly go over my schedule so you can maybe think of me tomorrow in okay. your thoughts and prayers. So I have meetings, and I will tell you the count of the meetings in a second, but I start my meetings at 8:30 and I end at 5. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I have a day full of tomorrow. Meetings tomorrow as well.
What is happening? I don't know.
Mine start, I think, at 8:30, and then I have a 2-hour meeting in the morning from 9:30 to 11:30. Then I have a quick 30-minute call until noon, and then I have a 1:30, and then a 2:30 to 3:30.
When are we supposed to get work done?
Well, not That's even that. My main what question. Do people want from me? I don't want to be here. When are you guys? And you guys being my job, when are you gonna just pay me and leave me alone? I'm kidding. pay me to not work. That's my dream job. I feel like I've said that a few times on this, but in case anybody was wondering, my dream job is to get paid to not have a job.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I like my job. I have so much fun at my job and what I do. But like sometimes I look at the calendar, I'm like,
it's just like I would just prefer to not work. Like, do I mind working? No. Do I mind my job? No. I like all my coworkers. Like, we have a great time. I'm not like, yeah, it's work, you know? Man, do I love going to work every day?
I mean, who honestly says that?
I would love to know. Like, and everyone's like, oh, you should, like, do a job that you feel passionate about. I'm like, no, because then my passion would become my job, and then I would hate my passion.
Well, not just that, but, like, excuse me for saying this out loud. But, like, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that are working in dream settings. Like, if you want to teach, like, that's amazing. Like, you can be a teacher. Same with being a doctor. Like, I've never had... My passion is reading books, and you don't make good money or any money to read books. I like to run. I am not a professional runner. Professional runners also don't make that much money. So, like, a lot of people's passions don't correlate to a paying job. And depending upon where you're living, like, we live in Central Jersey, folks, and Northern New Jersey. You need an income more times than not.
Yeah. I mean, even like, I'm going to say even professional athletes probably love their jobs, but like there's parts of the job that they don't like. Like, I'm sure they don't love having to like wake up and go to practice like after like a loss, or like they probably don't love talking to the media. Like, everybody's job, even if it's your dream job, there's parts of it that you probably
100%.
Hate. Like, even doctors, you have to do like all the paperwork and all that other bullshit. Like,
or there's probably some patients they don't, that like affect them more than others.
Yeah.
You don't know. I will say this, like, I can't say when people are like, oh, like, what do you do? Like, that's, and then, like, you'll answer, like, people are like, man, but it's like, I think you also have to find a good company because you could find value. Like, I now feel valuable.
Yeah.
And I like what I'm doing. I also really like my team. Like, I don't think I'd ever change positions because I love who I work under and work with. So I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that because I don't like, love my job, but I like the company I work for, and I like my coworkers. That like I don't mind being there. I'm lazy, and I would rather rot.
I mean, hey,
and that's just, it is what it is, right, guys?
It is what it is.
Speaking of rotting, there might be a body rotting on an island right now. The God of the Woods by Liz Moore.
What a transition, Teresa Marie. I am very excited we read this.
Same. This is like very, I think, different than any, we don't normally read or talk, I should say we don't normally talk about thrillers or mysteries on this podcast. So this is definitely a first for the BFF book cast. And it's been on my TBR for a while. I gifted it to my father-in-law for Christmas. He read it. He was like, do you want to read it? And I said, you know what? Sure. Give it to me, guy. And he did. And I'm glad he did, because I really did enjoy it.
I also have on my small TBR that I'm going to follow for audio, I will be listening to another one of her books. Like, I really enjoyed her writing style.
I was going to say, I think her writing style was, like, I really enjoyed how it... So the way the book is broken up, there's, like, I think there's, like, 6 or 7 parts, and it kind of, like, focuses, each part kind of focuses on, like, a different part of, I guess, like, the mystery. And it also kind of goes back and forth in time, which, like, at one point I was, like, confused. Like, I didn't realize that, like, the chapter headers tell you what year it is. And I was like, wait, what's going on now? But that happened, like, one time. It wasn't hard to follow, because I know sometimes people
look at the chapter titles. Or in the case of the audio, you hear it. Like, it's told to you the year you're going back to.
Yeah, no. Yeah, in the book it'll say, like, the year and who is, like, so it's told in third person, but each chapter is, like, from, like, kind of like the POV of a different player in the whodunit kind of game.
I do think the flashbacks very much in this case helped to build a better understanding of all the players involved.
Yes.
Because you're introduced to the fact that a camper has gone missing.
Yes.
The camper is from the family that runs
the camp. Yeah.
The camp, which is sad. You get glimpses of a mother devastated for reasons you don't quite understand about her other other child being missing. You come to learn that another kid of this family has gone missing as well. So they're kind of in a panic about, like, how does this happen again? And here we are in it. But I will say, just to kind of jump right in, I'm going to kind of flip to the end with the mom really quickly, because what I liked about this, and maybe this is just how I took it, there's more than just a mystery here. So you meet Alice, who's the mom. Yep. She is 19 to this guy that she's introduced to. And again, we're talking before 1950s. So think
it's
about,
like, it's like the late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah. So think about the time period we're in. Yeah. But she's introduced to a man through her sister and her husband. They're in society. So, like, you know, these guys are making money. There are some big people out there.
Yeah.
And I think there's a 10-year age gap, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's about 10 years. Yeah.
I believe he was 29 to her 19.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, and I'm not shaming this. This isn't me coming to say that this is a bad thing, but you're young and impressionable. This guy has money. He's again, time period. Like, it's the man of the house. You're just the female. You're here to entertain my guests and bear my children. Like, that is what Alice is there for. And I think once you kind of unravel this mystery and follow Alice a bit more, I have one thought with her, which we will get to. But I think it's really sad when you come to think about, like, if someone had just paid attention to her, if she had someone in her corner, I think maybe there could have been some differences, because she just became reliant on substances, whether it was prescribed pill. Like, she was basically kept being told to just take, you could take more if this is how you're feeling. You should take this amount if this is how you're feeling.
Yeah. So, like, Alice is, she gives birth to Bear, and it's the first time, like, in her life where she feels like she really has something for her.
Yeah.
But she's not allowed to breastfeed. She's not allowed to take care of him. She has a day nurse and a night nurse. And if she, like, wakes up in the middle of the night because Bear's awake, then her husband gets mad at her. It's, like, a very
controlling,
like, kind of abusive relationship that she has with her husband, which is, like, we'll get into that, obviously, the Vanlar family and, like, the patriarchs and whatever. But basically, like, she has, I think she's, like, she's sent away. This is, I think, before Bear's disappearance.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Right? Like, I think she's sent away because, like, she's, like, kind of freaking out because she can't, like, she's not, like, allowed to, like, be near him. Or is it, this is, like, right
after? I think it's after.
Okay.
But still, she's, like, she's just sent away. No one wants to help her.
No. Yeah. Like, she's, like, she just wants to be a mother, and she's constantly not allowed to. Like, her son's calling for her in the middle of the night, And she's like escorted out of the room by her husband, like, let the night nurse deal with it. And it's why can't she just take care of her son? Like, there's literally no reason whatsoever to be in that position. And we find out too, obviously, that her husband and her sister are having like an affair. So her sister is happily married. Her husband dies. But even before her husband dies, I guess they have like a different relationship is how Delphine
sounded,
puts it.
It sounded open to me.
It sounded open, and Delphine and Peter, they are from the beginning, like they have like great conversation and they are like, I don't want to say bantering, but like very much on the same like playing field, like mentally and emotionally. They're very, where like Alice is just kind of like very quiet and does what she's told. And I kind of like had a bad taste in my mouth about Delphine. I was like, I just know something's going to happen. I thought that maybe Peter would have taken advantage of Delphine and Alice maybe misconstrued it, but that's 100% not the case. Because at one point, Bear's still alive at this point. So every year, they have a goodbye fly party. So there's like these black flies in the Catskills, and they normally are like, they like leave around June when it gets too hot, whatever. And the Van Lars throws a big party and they invite all their rich, snooty friends, and they like invite like these actors and actresses. And it's just like a week long like party of like debauchery. Like that, everyone is just like, they're fucking and they're drunk and they're this and they're that, whatever. And for whatever reason, this like one year, Peter is just like really doting on Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're sleeping in the same bed together and they're like really like co-parenting and being like whatever. And then Delphine like makes a comment about the staff and the way the staff is being treated, because on like the last day of the party, everyone's having so much fun and Peter's like, you guys should all stay one more night. And like the head chef is kind of like scrambling because they were not planning to have all these people here for like another day. Whatever. And Peter gets mad at Delphine, but then kind of takes it out on Alice and then ends up sleeping with Delphine that night.
Yeah.
Like Peter, the Van Lar men are the most like atrocious people. And they're obviously not murderers. We find out obviously what happened to Bear, which I know you and I talked about it. I really thought that Bear was living on the island and that he kind of was the one who took Barbara when he like that he stayed in touch with TJ. TJ was like, things ain't good for your sister, and that she kind of escaped as well. And I thought, oh, it's gonna be a happy ending where Bear and Barbara get to like live together.
I know.
Bear do be dead. Poor Bear.
Bear is dead,
Which
is like, what a sad, tragic ending too for like the boy who just wanted to be like, he saw his mom get upset when she asked him in a drunken stupor if they want to go on a rowboat, and the grandfather was like, nope, he's going hiking with me instead. And like, what a little boy just to be like, oh, I'm gonna go with my mom. Like, he sympathized with his mom. He's sitting on this rowboat again, she's just out of her mind, and he gets caught under the boat when it flips over in the storm.
I'm surprised. I mean, I understand. So the Van Lars, they're like the big bankers in New York. That like the scandal of the son dying because of something the mother caused would have been like too much of a scandal. But I feel like the whole like cover up of like his death, they could have just like been like, oh, he, you know,
went out into the boat by himself
and drowned. Like, I don't know. I just feel like they didn't have to like frame like a man for murder.
Yeah. I think to me, like, it just spoke of like this. When you're that rich, you have other people doing things for you. So I feel like, to me, it read almost like they just didn't even have a thought process of what to do. And the best thing to do to keep them in a good standing, I'm using quotations, with the like with the world and who's looking upon them, would just to be, oh, the poor Van Lier family. Look at what had, look at what happened to them because of someone else. Like, they couldn't even have Bear do it themselves, like, or himself, and like by accident.
Yeah,
like, it would still shrewd light on like, oh, he was a silly boy, a stupid boy with no thought. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could see that that being like a thought process to them because they're assholes.
Yeah,
but I do feel like, because TJ, you come to learn, learns about his true passing and what had occurred at a very early and young age.
Yeah.
So I do feel like, because you do hear about, and I like there's so many pieces, right? Like, you had thoughts about TJ, and she's kind of described to be a little bit more tomboyish than a girly girl. So, yeah, so
she's like a feral girl in the woods. Like, yeah. She grows up on the land. She learns the land. Her dad, she comes from like a long line of guides, like people who like know the land well and are like survivalists kind of.
Yes. So she doesn't look like the socialites that are coming to stay at this camp. So, and that's okay. But like, she, you know, suspicion is cast because of her being different. But like, you, I almost feel like she had this plan. Like, once she found, Alice found out that she was having another child, like, I could totally see TJ being like, my eyes are open now. Like, and now I'm going to pay attention. I didn't pick up on the signs before of like what was going on with this family.
Yeah.
But now I'm prepared.
Yeah. Cause she's, I think, 13 when Bear passes. Yeah. And I think by the time Barbara's born, she's like 17 or 18. And she kind of like, she resumes like, Barbara. She like, she raises her. She, the Hewitts, I think that's their last name. So Vic is the dad who is like in the end stages of dementia. And TJ, they grew up like on the property. They've always worked for the family. They are like the groundskeepers during the year. And then during the summer, they run the camp. Like, they're very, their families are very entwined with each other. Vic is obviously the one who ends up burying Bear and helping the Vanlars kind of cover it up because he like loved Bear so much. And he like, you know, there's a lot of weirdness, but they're family. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, so TJ, she is kind of tasked with helping to raise Barbara. So like, she goes to Albany with them when they're in Albany, and she like kind of nannies for Barbara and is like an older sister in a lot of ways. And so then, when she goes missing towards the end, there's like questions, like what was the relationship really?
Yeah.
And I mean, it was obviously nothing bad. But
no, but I don't even think in TJ's mind she cared.
No.
Because she just wanted to get Barbara away.
Yeah.
Though, like, it almost, again, like, the ending kind of leaves, like, when, I feel so bad. We're not even speaking of the investigator who, like, played a major. Judy played a major role in all this. Like, again, a female in a male-dominated world in this era of the 1950s.
Yeah.
Where she's so forward-thinking. And I thought it was awesome she had someone who was backing her, like, no, that's a good thought. Like, I was like so pumped for her. But even when she sees Barbara and she asks, like, are you okay? Like, do you want me to come to you? And she's like, no. And she goes back. But I'm like, but like, is she just gonna hang there till she's 18? Because it is referenced that once she's 18, she can resume normal life and go back to where she wants to go. And she's of, you know, of legal age, but like, it's almost like that lingering, like, where does she stay? Is she going to stay in the woods because that's where her brother is? And like, TJ can help her and be with her, or like, do her and TJ go off together somewhere to be together? And like,
in a platonic way,
way. Like, what happens to Barbara? Poor Barbara.
I know. It's very open-ended at the end, because we know Barbara has like kind of escaped to TJ's family island. There's like an island on the lake that's like very hard to get to and traverse or whatever. Judy kind of figures it out, but is like, knows why she escaped and like thinks probably Barbara's better off without her family.
Yeah.
So she goes to check, make sure like, okay, is this good? Are you good? Barbara's like, girl, two thumbs up.
Yep.
I do feel like back to the mainland. But I don't know. Like, what is, I don't know. I would like to think that she turns 18. This is literally the 70s at this point. I feel like it's probably easy to get like a new identity. She was like super into music. I just want to assume that she just kind of goes out there and like, I don't know, maybe she like moves to like Nashville and bartends and like starts like a little band or something. Yeah, she's just
vibing. I can also see like the Hewitts taking, I mean, again, as you said, like they were family.
Yeah.
So, you know, whoever is remaining of that crew would be there for her. Alongside TJ. I don't think TJ and her, even if they were to separate for times past the island living, I don't think they'd stay away for that long. Like, I can even see TJ being like, I'm done with this. I'm done with this family.
Yeah.
You know, moving on. I'm rid of you people. So I can see even her kind of following where maybe Barbara goes for a bit.
Yeah.
And like, staying somewhere where there's more land, but letting Barbara do what she wants to do, because like you're saying, the music aspect, but I would hope she's well. But like, so sad that like, it just like hurts your heart to hear that like she, like Alice was so invested in Bear and basically didn't want Barbara, like, because just couldn't compute having so, which like, I feel like that was even like a forced upon her type thing, which it kind of is alluded to in the story as well. And I think she probably loved her in like her own fucked up way, but couldn't get past the fact that she lost her son. And I do feel like deep down in this woman's subconscious somewhere,
she knew
what she did.
Yeah, I think that was a big thing. Like, I think Alice didn't remember exactly what happened, but subconsciously, like, she knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they try to keep her so medicated, because I feel like if she's ever, like, sober enough and clear-headed, she might remember. So they keep her kind of drugged. We don't really, I mean, like, we know that Grandpa Peter and Dad Peter are, like, kind of, like, on trial now for covering up Bear's death. We know that, like, they're kind of being held accountable, that Alice is kind of being held accountable. So, like, who even, like, they don't have any, technically, they don't have any kids, because nobody knows Barbara's alive. Their godson, JP, not a great guy.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. So, like, who even knows what's going to happen to the family house or to the land or to the banks that they own? Like,
I was going
to
say the banks. Like, that was their big thing. Was, like, I feel there's like no other male heir.
Yeah. The downfall of the family. Like, who even knows who's going to end up with that land, or if they're going to have to sell it just, like, off to another family. It's kind of, like, all, like, left open-ended, but not in a bad way. Like, I didn't mind that it was open-ended.
No, I liked that you kind of were left with... You got a lot of closure. You were just left to kind of figure out the after effects. Like, you would need a whole other book to go through it, right?
Yeah,
I liked the way it ended off, like it ended, but I just feel like it was one of those books that I was trying to talk to your father-in-law about this, and I wasn't communicating it well, because it's like, it's not just a mystery, right? Like,
no.
These are family dynamics. There's, you know, a woman who I think if she was actually cared for, again, by one human being, someone who was in her corner and had her back, who knows? Maybe she wouldn't have been so medicated. Maybe she would have had the balls to stand up to her husband or have a voice. Like, but she literally had no one. She had her son and she couldn't even get to him. But like, what tiny baby is going to give you recommendations for anything, for how to like live your life? So it's just like so sad. Like, and again, like to have parents just be like, yep, he's rich. Go.
Yeah. No, I felt so bad for Alice. Obviously, like, what happened with, like, her negligence, like, putting her son in a boat while she's drunk, like, obviously not good.
Terrible process. Really, terrible parenting.
Really bad parenting, but, like, she, like I said, she's in an abusive situation. Her thought process is bad. She literally gets wasted after she sees her sister in bed with her husband. Like, it's just... not, her life is complete trash.
Well, and even to like hear her thought process of like, I could confront them, I could get a divorce, but then if you're divorced, you're shunned. Like, where do I go from here? What do I do as a mom? Like, I'm probably not going to get my kids. So like, can I just live with this? Like, you can hear.
She really, she had like no support whatsoever. Nothing. And she was in an emotionally like toxic situation that I think that even it, like, I mean, I'm sure her parents would have taken her in, but when you're in that situation, nothing sounds like
a good option. And again, like, if maybe she didn't have her child, that's a different situation, but like, I don't know how I would feel if I were to escape a terrible situation for myself. If I was leaving my kid there, like, I think I'd be like, F it. If he's going to get a better life than me, then I'll suffer.
Yeah.
But even like her sister, fucking piece of shit sister, even when she like threw it back in her face, like, I told you, you should have fun. Like almost like, fuck you. Like, I don't give a shit what I'm doing with your husband. Like, I told you to try and loosen up a little bit.
And Delphine is somebody that Alice like looks up to. She's like, oh, my sister, like, blah, blah, blah. And then you find out that her sister's not.
Does not think of her in the same manner.
No. Then you have JP, who is he's the godson of like the Van Lars like best family friends. Mm-hmm. He's so entwined.
Yeah.
So there are the two camp counselors, Louise right? Louise and Annabelle.
Louise and Annabelle.
And he is Louise's, like, long-term boyfriend. She thinks that they're engaged. She, like, doesn't like him, but he has money. Her mom is an alcoholic. Her brother's in a bad situation. She's like, I don't care. I will marry this man because he will provide
me a
life and help me get my brother out. He's having kind of like an affair with the girl Annabelle because Annabelle's family is friends with the Van Lars, and she thinks that they are in like she's gonna marry JP too. She's like, oh, mm-hmm. like our
everyone it's, thinks it's an arranged,
yeah, it's an arranged yeah. thing. And then Barbara and JP,
yeah,
there's something there.
Never really explained if it was like an infatuation from one side versus or like
if it was just like a way to kind of like try to set him up a little bit because yeah. they do plant the Barbara's bloody clothes in JP's yeah. trunk. So I'm hoping that he maybe did something fucked up and then they were like, how do we
get back get at him back?
And I'm not remembering. They don't really explain.
No, but you do get Barbara's reaction to the parents painting over her mural, mm-hmm. which I do think for how big of a reaction she puts out, you kind of understand in the back end after you learn what's going on, it's probably to frame him a bit more, to like yeah. really like nail that, hammer down that nail in that coffin yeah. for yeah. what, to like get him put away or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally like the worst guy. He's
yes.
literally physically abuses Louise. Yeah. He emotionally manipulates. Like, he's just not a good guy.
No, he's terrible
whatsoever. And I honestly like kind of like love that about the book, that like all of the men were shit and all the girls were like so much better.
I know, I'm here for it.
Like Judy being one of the detectives on the case, and you like know, so her immediate boss, and I forget his name, he really supports her, and he's yes. like, you're on the right track, keep going down this track.
Yeah.
The head detective on the case, he helped with the Bear investigation. They bring him in for the Barbara investigation, but he like doesn't really want to hear her. And like no. she'll come up with like things and he'll be like, okay, and he'll assign it to like kind of somebody else. Like,
yes.
Fuck you. Judy's the one who figured it out, obviously. We love that. We love that TJ helped. Like, I feel like the women all showed incredible strength and perseverance, and the men all sucked.
Yeah.
And I just,
I'm here for it. I thought it was so well done. I think it's rated so well and so on par to like how I felt also. Like, I wasn't, it kept me captivated and it kept me wanting more.
Yeah. And the whole time I was like changing who I thought, like what I thought
yeah.
was going on.
Like, I think we all could, anyone reading this, I think could have speculations that the family did something.
Yeah.
You just don't know what. And that's pretty on par with everything. But yeah, there's so many moving pieces and players that you're kind of... But that's what I like about a mystery, right? Like, if you have multiple pieces and puzzle pieces to, like, rearrange where they could almost fit in any situation scenario, that's what keeps a reader entertained in a thriller. If it's too linear and you can start to call out the shots, it gets yeah. boring.
Yeah.
So it was very welcomed. I'm actually really excited. I think I'm going to do a couple different audios first, but I want to circle back to her Long Bright River book yeah, that came out in 2020.
I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I love when we kind of do a little something different and we both then enjoy it and start to look at a backlog
yeah.
for the author. And I've been in a very, I love a romance, but I'm not in the mood. I want something with some substance.
Yeah. Not that romances don't have it, but there's just a no, lot out there more. That is. Yeah. I was on a tangent earlier in like my own head about it. I was like, I need a romance that's like really like meaty in the plot. I'm just like so bored.
Fairy Tale. With- you have to like this is ew. I can't think of anything else but this book. It is consuming me.
I do have two books coming in that I'm really excited about, which one is like older that Mary, these are both Mary recommendations. Talking at Night by Claire Devaney, okay. Claire something. Hold on. I'm just going to look it up. Oh my God. Hold, please.
Please hold. I was going to say, should I bang out some music?
Okay. Talking at Night by Claire Deverly.
Okay.
And then where's the other one? Oh, okay. And The Compound by Aileen Raleigh.
Yeah.
I've heard really good things about both of those.
Same.
And I think that they're like lit-ficky, romance-y. Like, I think that there's like more than just romance.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I've only heard good things about both of them. So those are up next on my docket. And then I am excited for our next book club pick as well. I feel like that's going to be really good too. So that is
so
The
many
Summer
good
Storms
ratings.
By Sarah McLean. Yeah. So I think I'm hopeful for July. Like, I think is going to be a good month.
I have to agree with you.
Do you?
I really do. I feel like my lineup right now is like clicking. And again, like I'm really proud of myself because I was actually on TikTok looking for paranormal romances, because who likes to read paranormal and weird things in the summer? Your girl over here. Not like a nice summer beach romance. I want the weird shit. And I kept seeing so many videos for Fairydale. And there are some things that I have a hard time reading about. But, and I feel like this is when I should probably write a better review, because for someone who does not like to read about graphic rape, that is one of the trigger warnings for some books out there. I've tried and I can't do it. So I stopped and I DNF because of my own trying and whatever, not the writing or anything else. Just I can't get past those scenes. I still have 10 hours left of the book, but like there's been no, like, so for someone who doesn't like to read rape scenes, there's nothing, I haven't encountered anything yet that would.
That's super triggering.
Yes. Like, to me, I even told you, I was like, I'm nervous to do this because of what I don't like, but this is so fucking good. It's a meaty romance, if you will, with a lot of mystery and weird shit going on. It's really good.
Okay. I need to get into that. I'm going to do Rose and Chains.
I was
going
to say,
audio.
I want to know how you like that.
I wanted to say The Auction, and I was like, that ain't right.
That ain't it.
it's kind of it, but it's not it. Rose and Chains, I actually got an ARC for it, and I looked at the audio, and I didn't realize it was... I'm a little late to the game because it came out today.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever, it's fine. So I'm starting that. But I feel like it's something that I'm going to really have to pay attention, like, really to. So the narrator has a little bit of a British accent. So,
oh, that's good to know. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that I need to I can play like a little bit of it. I think I need to like slow it down a little.
Okay.
So I think it's going to take me longer.
Because you're at the pay attention.
From the heart. But I think that too simple an explanation. Do we not summon it with our minds, with our intentions?
Sounds good, but I get what you mean. Sometimes then there's an accent I need to slow down a smidge.
Yeah, so it's
I wanna know
15 and a half hour book.
Thick. Okay.
Yeah, so I think it's gonna, I'm not gonna finish this for another like probably week or two. Barely started it.
I'm glad you said that, because I was after I finish this, I'll maybe then jump to our podcast episode book. Plus, like, I don't want to use the word cleanse, but jump into a different genre. Because I'm gonna go down a little bit of a Carrie Lake rabbit hole. She apparently is like queen of paranormal romance, and I'm appalled to say that I'm late to that game. I've had two of her books on my TBR for a while. Anamantha, it's a witchy one, and then Nocticadia, and the way it is described, it gives Orion and Darcy forbidden romance vibes.
Okay.
Teacher student, if you will. I am gonna do Long Bright River, and then We Were Warned, it's a mystery, and I'm gonna give that a go. That came out sometime this year. But you know what I am reading right now that I saw your review for another one of her books, and you weren't the biggest fan of it. Ashley Poston, she released like two books quickly. Not a novel love story, did you just do?
That was came out last year.
Last year, sorry. but you didn't really like it.
No, I did not like that one. I want to do Sounds Like
It's Good.
It is good so far. I've heard good things. People were saying that it's kind of 7-year slip-ish. Yes. But not a novel or whatever it was. Novel love story. Something like that. I can't see it on my shelf. Oh, yeah.
I'm getting confused because they were all just recently ranked again on a novel, USA or best a novel list love or
story came out last year. And I just didn't think that the two main characters were actually like in love with each other. It just kind of all happened like I'm not going to spoil. It wasn't bad. I just was like, oh, OK.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. But it
sounds like love so far is really cute. Yeah. I like it.
Well, when you're finished, let me know how that goes. You know, I have like a lot going on, so I feel like this audiobook is going to take me a long time because I think I'm only really going to be able to pay attention if I'm commuting. So TBD on that. Because even when I'm working out now, like I can't pay attention because like in my head I'll be like counting sets or I'll be like, oh, like I have to like if I'm doing like intervals on the treadmill, I'll be like, okay, like I have to run for a minute, and I'm like, okay, like. Stop it. Like,
when you have to pay attention, yes. It's harder. Plus, in a gym setting, there's so much going on that sometimes I feel like you lose focus.
Yeah. Yeah, if I was just like straight running, like I could, but in a gym setting, I struggle. Sorry, my friend just texted me. She's listening to Silver Flames. And she just goes, things are way too good in this book right now. And I'm scared. Girl, you should be. I think she listens at like 1 speed because she's been listening to this book for like 6 weeks.
I'm not gonna lie, when I first got into audiobooks, oh, no, I was listening at a 1 speed and I never realized you can change it.
I didn't learn that you can change it until like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it took me a while. And I will say I went down the Harry Potter rabbit hole and I love the narrator, Jim Dale. But I was like, this seems like slow. I was like, well, I wonder, like, and then I like Googled, like, can't you speed up? And they're like, yeah, you dumb idiot. It's right there in your face. Just change the speed.
I listen to my podcast now at like a 1.25. Like everything I like listen to faster. It's like, just give me as much content as you can. Even like every TikTok I watch, like I'm like on 2 speed. Yeah.
Rapid fire.
I'm like, oh my god, like I really need to just like stop with the I need to like just like content cleanse. I honestly need to just go to the woods and like not have a phone because who was I talking like I need to have music or a pop. Like I cannot be in complete silence like with my own thoughts anymore.
No
like I have to have something playing or I need to be reading or like I need something to engage. I just like meditating. I could never sit in a room for like 20 minutes like with nothing.
I think it's also I think you could, but I do think to me like I'd prefer to be listening and doing something. Like I don't need to think. We don't need me. Actually, they do say in all these books that I've read that like you should stop thinking sometimes.
Well, that's good because I could definitely take a thinking break.
Yeah. Like, I don't mind. Like, when I was cleaning the one yesterday and I was like, wait, why am I not listening to my audiobook? Like, you're stupid. I think I went downstairs and I was like, oh, shit, let me just start cleaning because I have the time because something got canceled.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I'm going to listen to my audiobook now because it's fucking good.
As right? You should. We like went so off the rails.
Anyway, yeah, sorry. I think I did that.
I gave The God of the Woods 4 stars.
Same. Me too. It was really good.
We didn't even talk about the lady in the woods, Scary Mary, or
Scary Mary, and that one guy too. Like again, so many moving parts.
Jacob Slitter, but they call him the Slitter.
Yeah,
yeah. No, literally, this book kept me guessing every like other chapter. I thought something different was happening.
Same.
And maybe I'm just an idiot, and I just didn't pick up on the fact that like Bear really was dead, and his mom. It was like an accident, and Barbara, but. I couldn't figure it out. Anyway, next week we have a plain old Spilling the Tea episode. I know Katie has a rant that she wants to go on about a book.
I'm going on a rant.
I think I might go on a rant, so it should be.
I have a bad rant. And I should be done with Fairydale, and I cannot wait to talk about this book.
So a bad and a good. Mm-hmm. It's your rose and your thorn. Yes. Yeah, so the 16th, Spilling the Tea, the 23rd, Summer Storms by Sarah McLean, and then we're ending the month with another Spilling the Tea episode. And then it's August, which is so crazy. Anyway, Katie, I think that's it.
I think you might be right.
So in that case, would you please do us the honors and send us out?
I would absolutely love to.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.